This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Is it still alive?
It's not working for me. Right, we're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
Once ready.
Like the staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days
when I was just a little nigga, bro, I looked up to my bigger bro, begged if I could kick it. So when he went out with girls, I could go tagging along, nagging. If she had a sis, maybe could mack a baby hood rat. Y'all remember way back then when it was 1985, all the way live. I think I was about 10.
Man, I don't know the words to that one, so I couldn't rap along, but I was just grooving. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I have to start off by thanking you for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to my random stories or whatever it is that I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. I really do. I guess I decided to make the song a part of the theme of the episode this week, so I went with Back in the Day, because I'm gonna tell a Back in the Day story. Things have changed, and these stories, I think, are going to disappear at some point, because, you know, it don't happen no more, but I need to share my story with y'all so y'all know that it happened. He mentions 85 in that part of the song, and I think, like, I probably was around 3. Back then, I wouldn't have turned 4 until like December. And that's right around the time where like my earliest memories come from. I can remember being in daycare. So this might have been before that, because I think right around 3, before I turned 4, I was in school. So it might have been that year, whatever. It might have been 85. But I remember being in daycare, and like the daycare lady used to just sit us in a room and like turn on the Thriller video. She had like the VHS or whatever of, like, maybe it was a whole Michael Jackson VHS, but the only part I ever remember seeing was the Thriller video. And it freaked me the fuck out. Like, I have a fascination with zombies and a real, like, true fear, an irrational fear of zombies, because I think the zombie apocalypse is coming any moment. Every time I hear about a new pandemic, like when COVID happened, or even this monkeypox, I'm like, this is the disease that's going to mutate into the zombie virus. And it's about to go down. Everybody get ready. Luckily, I'm in Texas. You know, they packing. But I can remember being freaked out by that Thriller video. And not because of the video. But the video was like a horror movie, for real. Like, for a kid that age, that video was fucked. That video was horrific. Like, that was a thriller. It was a very scary video. But it wasn't that like messed me up. It was after the video went off, her VHS had like behind the scenes footage, or like the making of Thriller. And in one part of the making of, they had a scene where like all of the actors or dancers or whatever are still in full makeup. They still in full zombie makeup and wardrobe, but they eating lunch in like a cafeteria, like with the straight little milk cartons and everything. Like, it was really creepy to see the zombies like outside of the movie thing and just like some real world setting like that. Really fucked me up. Like, and that was traumatic. As you can see, like, it hasn't gone away. Like, I still have a thing with zombies to this day. So it's, once again, like, childhood trauma. I'm staying on that topic. I started on it last week with things I talked about with Chef Elise. And then, you know, the whole discussion with Mom. She just opened a can of worms with that whole Biafra boy thing. Like, I had truly forgotten about that. And then she brought it up and just, the shit started flooding in. It just started coming. So I feel like let's continue down that vein. Let's talk about some more like crazy traumatic stuff that I find hilarious now. And it's still traumatic, but it's funny. But let's get the Chef Elise report out the way. I hate to say out the way, because that's my baby.
Out of Pepe.
You know who I am. So this week, you know, not a lot. This is my off week. I think her grandmother was in town, my ex-mother-in-law? Is that like, what do you call, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. So, and I kind of let her be. It was my ex-wife's birthday too. We gave her a canvas print of a photo I took of Elise, which I thought was dope. Black and white photos, right? You know, she liked the photo. I think we did good on mom's birthday gift. But other than that, you know, haven't really talked to Chef Elise a lot this week. She did, like today, send me a bunch of text messages. Well, she sent them through like Facebook Messenger, but same difference, text messages. Cause that's how we talk. And I always know, because they come from my ex-wife's account. And it'll be stuff like, I love you, I miss you. And it's like, I know it's her. I know it's my daughter, because it'll be like a shit ton of emojis after. And, you know, I'm pretty sure my ex-wife is past that. Like, that's not. Anyway, let me not get sidetracked. I got a bunch of messages from her this weekend. And it started out with, I love you more than food. I was like, I love food. I love you. Then it was like, I love you more than food. And then it went to like asking me if I like cheeseburgers or pizza more. And then, you know, like it was just crazy. And, you know, but the last message she sent me was, I love you more than food. And I was trying to, you know, that's by the time I got caught up on the messages. That was the last one I saw. So I'm like, I need to respond to my baby girl. She's sending me messages to let me know she loves me. And I fucked up because I didn't really know how to respond to that. I love you more than food. And so I just like stuck with the pizza thing. And I told her I loved her more than pepperoni pizza, which in hindsight was way too specific. Like somebody says, I love you more than food. And you're like, yeah, I love you more than pepperoni pizza. Like, you know, I'm not going to say food in general or anything of that caliber, but you know, I will pepperoni pizza, like, you know, pepperoni and sausage, not sure, but pepperoni pizza definitely place you above that. So I don't know. My daughter's too young to understand that, but they go to my ex-wife's account, so I'm sure she saw the message first. So I overthink things. I'm sure nobody is thinking of it the way I was thinking of it, but you know, it's way too late to try to correct it. Talking to a 6-year-old, like what I meant to say, now, you know, nah, I just had to let it live. But that's pretty much the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
That's my baby. So let's get into the stories. I don't want to make this episode too long. Again, like I said, I feel the need. I don't know if I've told this story before, but I feel like I'm gonna tell it today, and I'm gonna go into as much detail as possible so you can understand like really what happened. And I feel the need to tell these kind of stories. Cause I gotta keep him alive. Like I said, I don't know. Like, I know my daughter would never experience anything like this, and I feel like my generation may be one of the last that went through stuff like this. So I gotta, I'm like a historian or something. Like I'm like a griot. Nah, not that serious. But this is another story about childhood trauma, and this trauma isn't exclusive to me. This is a shared trauma that probably affected hundreds of kids, if not thousands of kids that went to school where I'm from. And so basically, they don't do this anymore. But people my age will remember a time when you could catch them hands from teachers at school. Like, it was commonplace. It wasn't a weird thing. It wasn't an extreme situation. It probably happened on a daily basis. Teachers, you know, could beat you in school, like just beat you. And no lawsuits, no angry parents, you know, nobody was catching this on their video phones or nothing like that. Like none of that. It just happened. Everybody knew it happened. Everybody was on board with it. You know, parents were in on it. They would have come and did it in front of the class themselves. Like parents would come to class and beat you in front of the class themselves if they had the time. Like I think everybody's familiar with that Bernie Mac bit. Where he's like, you know, somebody with mama would show up in school when they still had the curlers and a house coat on or something like that. And everybody be looking around trying to figure out who mama it was. And it was always the kid who was, you know, trying to do some work at that time. Like, oh, that's your motherfucking mama. But I mean, that would happen all the time. But most parents didn't have the time to come up there. So, you know, teachers had carte blanche to do what they had to do to you, you know, to instill some sort of discipline to keep order in the classroom. And, now, I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm trying to say these ass whoopings was traumatic. Like, I feel like my generation is a little tougher than that. This is about the psychology, the psychological torture that preceded the ass whooping, the fear that they made you live with on a daily basis for years, like this just fear of any moment this shit could happen to you. And I don't know, it was crazy. It was crazy. And it started very early. So it started for me in kindergarten. I started school in pre-K. I went to like an actual elementary school for pre-K. And my pre-K teachers were, when I think back on it, it feels like a fairy tale. Like pre-K was just so just, you know, have fun and colors and shapes and, you know, singing songs. And it just felt like they was like, you know, I don't know, they was like fairies or something. Like, I don't even remember their names, but I just remember that it was two of them. And I just remember them being very nice and very nurturing and very caring and loving. And it just, school not even being school. It was just a fun place you went during the day while your parents were at work. Like, that's what pre-K was. And then kindergarten came around. And so my kindergarten teacher's name is Miss Perry. Now, let me say this first. I'm not trying to badmouth Miss Perry. I love Miss Perry. And I feel like Miss Perry loved and cared for her students with all her heart. She really wanted the best for every kid that came into her class. And that probably extended to the children that didn't. You know, it didn't matter. She wanted to see kids, especially little brown kids, you know, succeed and do well in life. So I'm not trying to badmouth Miss Perry at any point. I'm going to say some fucked up things about Miss Perry, and I hope that she and her people don't feel no kind of way about it, but understand that I love Miss Perry. But she scared the living shit out of me from the first moment I saw her. I can remember being like taken to school. And again, I'm familiar with school at this point. So it's not like this is the first day of school. It's the first time I'm not with my mom all day. You know, I had been doing daycare and then I had been doing pre-K, you know, so I had been in that building. You know, I had been in the classroom next door to this class. Like pre-K was right next door to my kindergarten class. But this was the first time I was meeting Miss Perry. Now, I want to say she was tall, but I was like 3-4 years old. So everybody was tall to me. But she seemed tall. She was very thin. She wore very long skirts, like ankle length skirts. She wore, you know, blouses. They just, that's the only, other people wear shirts. Miss Perry wore blouses. Like these were blouses. Like they had blousy things on. Like they were different than any shirt I've seen other women wear. It was Miss Perry's blouses. They were very Miss Perry. I don't know if that's all I can say. She had these, you know, really like long, bony fingers. And at the time, like, again, I love Miss Perry, but she seemed old. I don't know how old she was. I think she was like my mother's age, but she didn't look it. She looked much older than that. Like, she looked so old to me in kindergarten that I remember Miss Perry like showed up to either my sister or my graduation. Like, she came to the house after we graduated for like the party afterward. You know, that's how much Miss Perry loved her students. But when I saw her at the house, you know, 10 plus years since elementary school, I was legitimately shocked she was still alive. Because I mean, at the time when I met her, she looked like she could go at any moment. Like, she just looked like she was that old that these were the last days for Miss Perry. She ain't had much longer. And the fact that she was still here, I don't know. Again, I love Miss Perry. I don't know whether Miss Perry is alive or dead to this day. I feel like I could probably call my mom and ask her, because they were both DC public school teachers. And I think they were contemporaries. I think they were like the same age, but it didn't feel that way. So she was tall. She wore these long skirts. She had the long bony fingers. She looked super old. She had a voice that was just old and crackly. And she looked like a witch to me. She looked like a witch. She looked like a witch, except she was brown, not green. But everything else about her was everything I had seen on like The Wizard of Oz and all that. Like, that's what she looked like to me. And I just remember my mom, you know, walking me to the class and like lead me into in there and meeting Miss Perry and, you know, Miss Perry, you know, greeting me and bringing me into the class, telling me to sit down and just having that look on my face. Like, I know you see this, like looking at my mom, like, I know you see what I see. Like, you legit leaving me here. Like, we serious right now? Like, you going to leave me with this? Like, I know you see this. You can't be telling me. Like, you showed me the Wizard of Oz, like, and look at this, and this, and you're gonna leave me here, and I gotta accept that. But so from day one, like, I had a fear of Miss Perry and what she might be capable of. Like, I just didn't know. I just didn't know and didn't want to find out. And I think she played on that fear, because Miss Perry was a stickler for discipline. Like, it didn't go down in her class at all. Like, Kevin Hart wouldn't have got the words out. Like, she would have recognized when he was forming his mouth to say something wrong, and it would have ended then. Well, she could kill you with just like a look. Just a look, or them bony fingers grabbing you, or her saying something to you. She could get you with just a look. But she went further than that. She had a very unique punishment strategy for kids in kindergarten. In kindergarten, I have to impress upon you that I was in kindergarten when this story started. Not when it finished, but when it started. She had a very unique punishment for children that acted out. So in her classroom in the back, it was either in the back where like the cubbies were, the cubby hole where you put your stuff were, or maybe it was the closet. I don't really remember. I feel like there was a door back there. And it might have even had a sign on it. Like, this is how trauma affects your mind over the years. Like, your mind will start making it worse over the years when you think back on it. It'll just start adding details that make it even more fucked up. So I can't say this for sure whether or not there was a sign or whether or not there was even a door. But there was an area in the back of the class, right? And when you acted up, you got a warning first. And when I say acted up, I don't even mean like talking back or like blatant shit, like shit kids do nowadays. Like, I don't think it wasn't like hitting another kid or hitting her or running around. It wasn't like those were automatic is going down situations. Like, what would get you a warning would be something like not turning in work, talking in class, not paying attention, stepping out of the single file line, like real simple shit. And she would call you out on it first. She would call you out on whatever your behavior was first. And then it always went to the next escalation point was, oh, you must want to talk to Officer Friendly. And it always, oh, you must want to talk to Officer Friendly. Every time. That was the next exclamation point. That was the next escalation point, right? And so if you didn't get in line quickly, if you didn't fix the behavior, and you had to fix your face at the same time, because you better not look mad or upset about it. But if you didn't do one of those things, if you took it a step further from there, then what would happen is that at her earliest convenience, had to be convenient for her, but at her earliest convenience, she didn't forget, you would get escorted to that area in the back of the room, and you would get to meet Officer Friendly. So I got to do some backstory, though. So understand this, right? Back then, police in the schools wasn't an uncommon thing. Like, you know, police being in the school or you seeing police in the school was pretty regular, right? Matter of fact, in D.C., the police did a lot of things to try to, like, stay in touch with the youth or, like, you know, outreach to the youth. And so they had a band. They had it was called the Side-by-Side Band. It was like a go-go band of all police officers, and they would come to your school and do concerts. I don't know if you know go-go, but that's the music, you know, in the DMV in DC. Let me be specific. There was a go-go band. They would come to your school and they would do concerts, and they would perform like go-go songs. I don't know if they was original or they was covers, whatever. I can't really remember. They would perform these songs in uniform, like in full uniform. I'm talking like holsters and guns on the hips, batons, all of that. Full uniform go-go band would come to your school and perform. Then it was like the DARE program. I know everybody remembers DARE. That's my age. what did the fuck did DARE stand for? I don't even remember what it stood for. I know it was an acronym for something. But they would come to your school to do DARE stuff. They would do like slideshows. They would come to the school and they would do slideshows of like, you know, what would happen to you if you get too involved in the streets. And they would say shit to you like, if you have a weak stomach, you need to leave now. And this just goes to show you how ineffective it is. I know several of, you know, my classmates went on to live those lives. But also, like, none of the kids left. And this was elementary school. This was elementary school. And the police are telling you, I'm about to show you some stuff that's pretty fucked up. If you got a weak stomach, you should leave. And all the kids was like, oh, shit, it's about, like, let me see what's going on next. Slide, hit the slide show. Somebody turn the lights off. Let's go. And they would show you slides of, like, you know, victims of gang violence and, you know, drug activity. I remember the one that stood out to me the most was they showed a slide, a picture of a kid who got thrown in the trash compactor. Like, I guess he owed some drug dealers money or something like that. And they found him and they threw him in the trash compactor. And, like, they showed you the picture of, like, his mangled body, either still in the trash compactor or pulled out the trash compactor. I don't remember, but this kid in the trash compactor is what I'm trying to say. And I was in elementary school when they showed me this stuff. Like, this was the world we lived in. But anyways, I say that to say this. So the idea that there was a police officer who was stationed in the back of this room that you never saw, that you never really heard, wasn't too far-fetched for an elementary school kid. It really wasn't. Like, you know, police officer was around all the time. So Officer Friendly lived in the back of Miss Perry's classroom, as far as I was concerned. So basically, when you went to see Officer Friendly, you got escorted back there. She went with you. I'm feeling like it had to be a door, because I feel like the door closed behind her. There was no visual as to what was going on in that room. You really didn't hear too much. All you knew was that kids went in, shit happened, and then they came out crying. And it's like watching a movie and somebody gets killed off screen. Like, you know, they let your imagination tell the story, you know, for them. Like, they don't have to show you what happened. You see the blade getting ready to come down, and then it just cuts to something else. And, you know, they just got their head chopped off or something like that. It's like, you know, kid goes in room. Kid is in room. Kid comes out room crying. You figure out what the fuck just happened in there. And most people did. Most people did. Like, their imagination did the job for them. Everybody had, I know I had a story set in my head of what happened when they went in there to meet this police officer. And I'm guessing all the rest of the kids did too, because nobody ever asked anyone what happened. Nobody asked what he looked like. Nobody asked what he said, what he did. None of that shit. Like, nobody asked nothing. Just as you was walking back there, we already had our heads down trying to get focused on what we were supposed to do so that we wouldn't be next. Like, this was truly, like, just fucked up psychological warfare. It's horrifying, like, that there was this entity in the back of the classroom that just was doing something to kids that we didn't know, and it was fucking them up. And nobody ever came out of there and said what happened. Nobody came out. Nobody talked about it. Like, this sounds like some. And I love Miss Perry. Again, I love Miss Perry. I'm not trying to say anything bad about Miss Perry. But listen to how fucked up this sounds. Like, these kids went in there and they came out. Nobody asked them what happened. Nobody talked about what happened. It just was a thing. It just was a thing. It was a way of life. Something we all understood. And you lived with that. That it was back there. You don't know what it was, but it was back there. And it gets worse, though. It gets worse. Because Miss Perry wasn't just a kindergarten teacher. Miss Perry, like I said, cared about her students. And so she followed you. Like, she followed up on you and kept track of you the entire time you were at that school. I feel like it extended beyond that point, but I'm not going to say for a fact. I know it extended beyond that point that she followed up on you. I don't know if she still had the impact she had once you left those doors. But I know up until the point that, you know, you were still a student at the elementary school, Miss Perry could reach out and touch you if she needed to. Like, you know, and everybody knew that. All of the teachers in the other grades knew who Miss Perry's students were. They knew the people she was, you know, concerned about or watching or looking out for. And everybody was in on it. So, like, you would see, like, sixth graders. So you could be in the sixth grade and understand what a sixth grader is to a kindergartner. Like, we don't even play on the same playground. Like, they got a big kid's playground. We got the kindergarten playground. Like, we don't eat in the same. We don't have the same lunchtime. There's a separation. These are big kids. These are another level. It's going to be a couple years from I'm even in the vicinity of a sixth grader. And you would see sixth graders come into her class, you know, get walked back, do the walk of shame to Officer Friendly's area, yada, 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 whatever that is, and then come out crying. Do you understand what it's like for a kindergarten age kid to see a sixth grader cry? It's like, what the fuck is happening back there? Like, what is happening to these? Like, this is a grown man as far as I'm concerned. And they just broke him down. Like, just broke him down. Like that, just like that. Like, super fast. Anyway, like, it was horrible because all the teachers were in on it. You could be, you know, in whatever grade and you do something. And if they knew you was one of her people, they would hit you with the, oh, you must want to talk to Officer Friendly. And then they would walk you down to that class. And like I said, there's a separation between kindergartners and, you know, upper class. I hate to say there's an upper class in elementary school, but you know what the fuck I'm saying. Like, I think it went from like kindergarten to, oh, I don't know, pre-K through first grade. And then once you hit second grade, you was on the other side of the building. So it was a long walk. It was a long walk. Like, you had to make the trek from wherever you were all the way. So you had that much time to think about what was about to happen to you and wonder what was about to happen to you. And then you get walked in there and parents, you know, adults do what they always do. They talk about you like you're not there. They're telling her what you did and she hearing what you did. And it's always the same thing. Oh, he must want to talk to Officer Friendly. I don't know what the shock was every time. It's always the, oh, you must want to talk to Officer Friendly. So anyway, you see all that. It goes on for years. You know what's happening. And then, you know, at some point, you probably forget about it. You forget about it. You're away from Miss Perry. You're out of her class. It's not your concern. You're not, you know, I was never a bad kid. I guess I was a bad kid. But my worst things always somehow got excused. Because my bad stuff was mostly retaliation. Like, you know, I was short, small. I think like I was saying last week, I was thin, you know, with a round face. You know, and I was the smart kid. I was like the teacher's pet. So, you know, I got bullied and picked on a lot. And so most of my acting out was like retaliation. So normally whenever I would do something or get caught doing something, it was doing something to another kid. And the question would always be, you know, what did you do to him first? Like, you know, like I remember me and my homie Daryl, that was like my enforcer, that was my man. Like, we friends on Facebook. I haven't seen him in years, but I could be making this up, but I remember us like catching a kid coming out the bathroom and like me putting a plastic bag over his head. And I think I might've been like the second grade or something like that. And like staring into his eyes so he knew who put the plastic bag over his head and, you know, him understanding the power I was wielding in that moment. And remember when his mother came to the school like days later, you know, I never got in any trouble for that. I don't know what he did to Jared to make him do something like that. Cause Jared doesn't, you know, Jared don't act that way. And it just went away. I did one like broad daylight, like straight New Jack City style, like just teacher in the classroom and everything. Kid had done something to me. I passed my composition book to one kid. I got up to sharpen my pencil on the way back from sharpening my pencil, passed by the desk. He passed me the composition book and I just swung as hard as I could in the back of this kid's head in front of the teacher. And again, it was like, what did you do to him that made him like nobody would do that? Nobody would just do that right in front of me. So you must have done something. You in trouble. Matter of fact, you in trouble. Jared, it's okay. Sit down. Fuck did you do? Like, that's the kind of situation it was. But eventually, I had my turn to meet Officer Friend. So it wasn't something that like that I did got me in trouble. It must have just been a bad report card, like me not turning in assignments or something like that. Me falling off from being the golden child that everybody thought I was. So had it been like the fifth or sixth grade. And, you know, the teacher hit me with the, oh, shit, you know. And so making him walk down there, get to Miss Perry's class. Miss Perry does the same, oh, you know, and it's like, you know, trying to get this over with. You're looking at the kids in the class. They looking at me like, oh, shit, you know. You don't know what to say to them. They don't know what to say to you. I got it. Because it's in the back of the classroom. And she had like, you know, desk on one side, desk on another side. And you kind of had to walk down the middle. And like not trying to catch too many eyes on your way to whatever it is you was about to face. And I got back there and I was a sixth grade age child and was legitimately expecting to meet a police officer back here in this cubbyhole. Well, I met Officer Friendly and Officer Friendly was 2 yardsticks taped together. That's what Officer Friendly was. She was just marching you back there to beat you with 2 yardsticks where nobody could see. Like that sounds, I love Miss Perry. Again, I love Miss Perry. Don't get me wrong. I love Miss Perry. I love what she was trying to do. But this was crazy. Like she took me back there and I met Officer Friendly, the 2 yardsticks, and you know, I got my punishment, I got my due, and I got walked back out. Now what I feel bad about is that I didn't walk out there and just be like, it's 2 fucking yardsticks. It's 2 yardsticks. You know, this ends now. There's no police officer back there. Everybody, you know, take a breath. You know, take a sigh of relief. There's no police officer back there. It's just yardsticks. You've been hit before. You'll be hit again. It's going to be okay. But I didn't do that. I did what everybody else did. And I just walked out of the classroom and went on with my business to leave however many classes that came behind me to suffer through the same fear and psychological torture behind Officer Friendly. I wonder how long it lasted. I wonder how much more time there was before like shit changed and you couldn't do stuff like that to kids. Like at what point parents was like, nah, I'm not cool with Officer Friendly. I'm not even cool with the idea of Officer Friendly. Cause the punishment wasn't the thing. Like it took several years. You know, I was in the fifth or sixth grade, so we'd be talking, you know, 5-6 years down the road before I ever had to face the punishment. The fear of the punishment kept me in line for that long. The fear of this unknown thing in the back of a classroom that could make a sixth grader cry. I had to be in the sixth grade till I faced it. And I didn't. I should have just came out like, this ends here. Stop the bullshit. It's just, motherfucker, bro. I should have broke it. Like, I should have broke it. Do they even have yardsticks anymore? I don't think I've seen a yardstick in however many years that's been. Like, I don't know what I'd do if I did see a yardstick. But yeah, Officer Friendly, and it had Officer Friendly written on it. It was 2 yardsticks with Officer Friendly written in like Sharpie on them. And she just would beat the shit out of you. Like, she didn't beat the shit out of you, but you got an ass whooping. You got to ask women for acting up. But yeah, man, like that, that'll never happen again. I don't, you know, my daughter will never understand anything like that. And it's crazy. But yeah, like to this day, like I remember all of that vividly. And it just, the thing that strikes me the most about the situation is that nobody talked about it. Like nobody ever said what happened when they went in that room. Like nobody. And I don't even remember anybody asking. I don't remember it being a conversation. It's like, that's how fucked up. That's how traumatized these kids were. We got to chill. We got to chill, parents. We got to do better. I guess we have chill. But yeah. Thriller and Officer Friendly. These were my, that was 85 for me. That was fucking 85. So no, I don't want to, back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. Fuck that. I'm glad. Like, I never. I should have ended that shit. Anyway, thank you for letting me share As always, you know, hit up my man, Zaya Fitness, at livealphafitness.com if you want to get right with your nutrition and fitness goals. He's a beast with that. Hit up my website, whatistws.com. Get your merch. Coupon code algorithm is still good. It's going to get you 20% off your entire order. Hoodie season is coming soon. I'm going to be refreshing some of the hoodies with the new designs, so look out for that. And then just stay tapped in. You know, if you enjoyed what you heard today, let me know, leave a review, you know, give me a like, repost, retweet, whatever. They all go a long way. Subscribe to the show. Make sure you don't miss out on anything. But yeah, I think I'm done with the childhood trauma for now. We'll see what next week holds. But until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. Don't believe in the boogeyman or Officer Friendly. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.